From the Centre for Public Christianity, you're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Natasha Moore.
And I'm Simon Smart.
On the 29th of April, 2015, Myuran Sukumaran was executed by firing squad in Indonesia. Myuran, you might remember, was arrested for smuggling heroin in Indonesia in 2005. He was part of a group of Australian drug mules who came to be known as the Bali Nine. But in the 10 years between his arrest and his execution, he turned his life around. Myuran became a Christian, an artist, and a model prisoner. At Kerobokan Jail in Bali, he ran an art studio. He taught English and computer skills to other inmates. And as his execution date drew nearer, he also became an activist against the death penalty. For many people, Myuran was proof that rehabilitation is possible, that people can change.
Those of us who live in Australia will remember this as a deeply affecting moment, a kind of a spiritual moment for the nation, where we faced the story of these young guys who seemed to have reformed and got their lives together, and to see it cut short was just so terrible, so tragic, such a loss. Later we'll hear from Myuran's pastor and friend, Christy Buckingham. She was with him during his final hours, and she's continued to be an advocate for the abolition of the death penalty. But first...
It's a gut-wrenching exhibition. Like, it's one of those exhibitions that, you know, that when Ben approached me, you know, I was like, oh, should we do it? And it kind of, you know, I saw the works and we've got to do this.
You know, from that. This is Michael D'Agostino. He's the director of the Campbelltown Arts Centre in Sydney. They have an exhibition on that's part of the Sydney Festival. It's called Another Day in Paradise, and its core is a series of paintings and portraits by Myuran Sukumaran from the last 2 years of his life. Michael's co-curating the exhibition with Ben Quilty, who was Myuran's art mentor and friend.
And this show and this exhibition, you know, you can't not but feel for what he went through.
In the main gallery, there are two massive white walls that are covered in more than 40 self-portraits by Myuran.
When you walk into the space, there's a sense that he's looking at you. With the immense amount of work that we've got here. So they're all staring at you as you walk into the space.
One of the walls is called The Final 72 Hours. There are 12 images of Myuran that he painted while awaiting execution on Nusa Kambangan Island.
What had happened was he was given 72 hours notice that he was going to be executed. And from that point onwards, he started painting, feverishly. He created over 20 works, which the majority are on display here. And what he wanted to do was capture the time. So there's a lot of portraits that are quite happy, quite sad, but it captures that full range of emotion. His mum said, you know, I think you need to go to sleep, you need to go to sleep. And he's like, no, I want to keep painting. And that's what he did for that last 72 hours. We left one painting leaning against the wall as a way of kind of talking about, you know, unfinished business. So we've left the exhibition, you know, slightly unfinished. It's a really strong statement that Myuran's story would continue and that there's unfinished business that we need to deal with.
There's a clear political statement being made as well. The exhibition invites us to think about justice, human rights, the death penalty, and the possibility of rehabilitation, of transformation. Here's Michael talking about a sketch of Indonesian President Joko Widodo that hangs back to front in a dimly lit room.
The work's called Jokowi, and what he inscribed in the back was people can change. The way that we've hung this work in the gallery space is to actually hang the paint facing the wall, and the inscription on the back faces out for the viewer.
The walk through the exhibition is really affecting. There are some really powerful images on display.
Actually, we asked a few people at the exhibition to share their thoughts as they walked through the gallery. Alicia and Sean were standing in front of the final 72 hours portraits.
It's very daunting. I mean, as we walk around and think about them, like, I wonder what he was thinking when he was standing there. And if you stand right in front of the picture and the painting where he was painting, what he was thinking about himself, what made him use those specific colours or those specific strokes. Out of all things he could have painted a house when he was at home, or like a childhood memory or his mum and him holding each other in a happy moment, but it's not. I guess that was his mentality when he knew he was going to die. He was just like, it's here now and this is how I feel about it.
Even though it's an image and you're not physically seeing him, you can see just the emotions the guy has gone through. You can actually see that he wants to change. You know, you can see that if he could, he would have changed his life for the better. He would have done something else. Walking in here, I was like, you know, they deserve what they got. But when you see what they went through, it's like, you know, maybe it was a mistake.
We spoke with Jody about Myron's final painting before his execution. It's an Indonesian flag with red paint dripping down the canvas like blood. It's suspended from the ceiling, and you can look at the back of the canvas where the people scheduled for execution on the same day as him have signed their names.
I'm still going goose pimply over the last painting that he ever did and seeing all of the people that he was with that day when they faced the firing squad, signing and writing some last comments. And it's so poignant. Again, I guess to me it speaks to the value of human life and giving people a chance to face their consequences instead of having to face their death, really.
And this is Jan. She had just finished walking through the whole exhibition.
It's really hard. It's dreadful. I think the thing that's most sort of, for me, he's the same age as my son. And I think that it's such a waste. And that how can anyone have a mistake that they've paid for anyway? And he clearly is someone who had so much to offer. And it's so difficult to reconcile all the dreadful lost potential of someone who could see the world so clearly and present that and present these amazing portraits. They're so strong. If something like this can make people pay a bit more attention to what it means to have a death penalty, hopefully that will work. I don't know. It's very difficult. But it's a wonderful.
The exhibition really says a lot about the transformation of this person over his time in prison and the possibility of redemption and of hope.
When he was caught in 2005, he was a troubled person that was caught up in drugs. And within a short period of time, being incarcerated in a Bali jail, he did so much. You know, he not only created an art studio, but he created a computer room. He created a number of learning opportunities, not just for the male prisoners, but also the female prisoners who'd never had access to education previously. So this is a story of redemption. This is a story about a person that has changed and really, under really extreme circumstances, changed the way that he was living his life.
If you're in Sydney and want to visit the exhibition, Another Day in Paradise is showing at the Campbelltown Arts Centre as part of this year's Sydney Festival. It'll be open until the 26th of March.
Becoming an artist was a big change in Myron's life. Becoming a Christian was another one.
Last year, we sent our producer, Karen Tong, to cover an event called the Justice Conference, which Christy Buckingham was speaking at. Christy is the pastor of a Melbourne church, and she was Myron's pastor in the last few years of his life. But she was also his friend.
Since his death, Christy has taken on his cause and become a fearless advocate against the death penalty. Here's Karen with the story.
Yes, the first page of the journal says, "How dumb can you get and still breathe? Nevertheless, Lord, show your mercy." I felt for these guys, but I, you know, my...
This is Christy Buckingham. She's telling me what she wrote in her journal back in 2005 when she first heard about the arrest of the Bali Nine.
But I still saw them as young men, and I knew I've been around too long to realise that drug mules, I mean, they're not drug lords. Drug lords never travel with drug mules. And, you know, drug mules, there's always a backstory. And I was like, nevertheless, Lord, show your mercy.
Christy never expected to get involved in any way with Australian drug smugglers who were imprisoned in Indonesia. But several years later, she was asked if she wanted to meet two of the Bali Nine members, Myuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan. And she said yes.
I mean, what did you expect when you met them?
Well, that's a very good question and something that I've never actually been asked, believe it or not. What did I expect when I saw them? I certainly did not expect what I saw. I expected them to be very rough around the edges. I did not expect them to be as reformed as what they were. I expected them to possibly be very institutionalized, but I saw nothing of that. And I was totally inspired by them, like wowed by them, as a matter of fact. So I casually just said to Andrew, look, if there's anything I can ever help you with, just let me know. Well, 2 weeks later, I had a letter from him with all the things that he thought I could help him with. And so we tried over the next 4 years to do what we could to help them. And of course that ramped up towards in the last six months, to what inevitably became the campaign to save their lives and consequently then to be there for their execution.
I remember this campaign. Thousands of Australians got behind it, and in the weeks and months leading up to their executions, it was gathering momentum. I wondered how Christy felt at the time, whether she thought it would work.
Totally. I remember at one point one of the lawyers said to me, I just said, you know, I can't imagine the boys not being around. And he said to me, well, you better get used to the idea because it could happen. And that thumped me. I was in Sabah, Borneo at that particular moment, and I remember exactly where I was. And I just said, no, I just thought, no.
Since the death of Myuran, Christy says she's more pragmatic about her expectations now, but still hopeful. She tells me that in the last round of executions in Indonesia, only 4 out of 14 took place. It's still 4 too many, but these are the little glimmers of hope that make the fight against the death penalty worth the effort. So she keeps going. But there's another reason why she's committed to this cause. It's a promise she made to Myuran.
He had asked me basically to vow that I would speak out against the death penalty. And I thought that was a very strong word. And I remember distinctly the day he asked me, it was in January before he died. And I said, well, I'll have to think about that. And I said, I've only taken 2 vows in my life, my marriage vow and my ordination vow. And he said, well, you've done pretty well on those. And I laughed and I said, I'll think about it. And he said, you do that. And when I went back again in the March, he said, have you thought about it? This is just before they were transferred. He said, have you thought about that? And I said, yeah, I have actually. And he said, and what's your answer? And I said, well, I said, yes, I will vow to speak out.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Our producer, Karen Tong, is speaking with Christy Buckingham. She was there at the execution of Myuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan in 2015.
How was Myuran during those last few hours?
Remarkable. I mean, when I got there on the night, you know, the guard said to me, you know, Myu's so excited to see you. And I'm like, excited to see me? Like, he's waiting for you. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, I said to him, Myu, are you frightened in any way? And he said, of being shot? Heck no, got over that. He said, I just want to make sure that I have my life sorted out, because he said, I know that there is more beyond this. And one of the fascinating things I did with Myu back in January, I said to Myu, I want you to, you know, I believe that gratitude is the antidote to anxiety and persecution. And I said to Myu, I want you to think of a couple of things every day that you're thankful for. And when I went into his cell, he showed me on the wall how he had kept a note of all the things that he was thankful for. And he said, I did that thing you told me. And I said, what thing? And he said, where I thought about being thankful for some things every day. And he said, I did 10 things every day. And I just went, 10 things. I said a few things. I said, you would be hard pressed to find someone not in your situation, think of 10 things a day that they can be grateful for.
For a man in prison, on death row, it's not just his gratitude that's remarkable. Christy told me of another conversation with Myron and Andrew. It was in February, just a couple of months out from their execution. Andrew had managed to get Christy into the prison on a Sunday afternoon for 3 whole hours.
I said, do you remember the conversation we had a few years back about living and dying according to your values? And they both had remembered it. And I said, remind me again of some of the things that you chose as your values. And they said compassion, they said courage, they said kindness, they said forgiveness. And I said, well, you know, no matter what happens, we will always believe for the best, but prepare for the worst. And you can live and die according to your values. And when Mayu and I discussed his last day, you know, he said, I'm going to be courageous and I want to do this well and I want to forgive people and I want to be kind. And he was, to the very last minute. When he walked out of the cell, he was even trying to, you know, tell me to go in front of him to be the gentleman. And, you know, he hugged the guards and he forgave people and he showed compassion on people. And when they took him out and they were shackling him again, you know, they were apologizing and he was saying, no, it's okay, you're just doing your job, you're just doing your job. And even when they had him tied to the poles, even there he said, you know, that he wanted to forgive Indonesia. He wanted to forgive the people that were doing this. But still, the gunmen were also, he was apologizing to them as well. Saying, sorry, you have to do this. And they were apologizing to him. They were all masked and they took their mask down and said, you know, even to me, I'm really sorry. Please forgive Indonesia.
Wow.
And his last words were that, you know, Jesus, I trust in you.
One of the things Myron wanted to do was to sing his way to the other side.
We started to sing and I said, can you hear me? And he said, yes, I can. I said, I'm just going to take a few steps back, and I asked him if he could still hear me, and he could. And I said, look, I'm just going to the side, but we're not far away. And he said, I'll see you on the other side, Mrs. B. And I said, I'll see you on the other side, Mayu.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith with Simon Smart and Natasha Moore. If you're in Sydney and keen to see Myron Sukumaran's exhibition, Another Day in Paradise, it's showing as part of the Sydney Festival at the Campbelltown Arts Centre. It's free and open to the public until the 26th of March.
To hear more stories like this, visit our website, publicchristianity.org, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just type Life and Faith in the search box to find us. Please feel free to leave a rating or a review as well.
Right now, we want to leave you with a song by Phil Davidson. It's called I Shall Be Free. Phil wrote this song as a response to the execution of Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran.
And do join us next week. We speak to Father James Martin. He is a Jesuit priest who was involved in the making of the movie Silence as a consultant and spiritual advisor to the writers and actors in the film. You will not want to miss this.
Father, oh Father, great is your mercy, great is your love for me. Forgive the hands that know no now I shall be free. Ooh. 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 Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a fool.
journey.